Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in
it control, y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the grace
within your heart.
any day of my life. I get a new blessing. Well, the Lord sends new blessings my way. And he does it over and over and over again. Come on, y'all. Talking about the Lord now.
Keep on blessing me.
never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, listen, please work with me. Amen. Amen. We've been having technical difficulties these last few minutes. Amen. But the devil is a liar. We will do the work of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm even still having technical difficulties now, but I'm going to bring it up a little bit, and I'm going to do everything in my power. I'm going to pray, y'all. Please pray with me, because the enemy really is trying to stop this message. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, bless me, bless me, bless me on this evening, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, man, thank you. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you for the peace of mind on this day, God. We thank you for covering us with your grace and your mercy. Most of all, Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who suffered and gave his life and shed his precious blood on the cross, so we shall live and have everlasting life, not die, but have everlasting life, Father, as he descended into hell to defeat the enemy, for the keys to heaven, ascended back to heaven and sit on the right hand of the throne of God on the third day of resurrection, God. We thank you, God. We thank you for peace of mind, God. There's none other like you, God. We just ask you to bless those that are suffering, lack, Father. We just ask you right now in the name of Jesus, even as this election go forth, Father, you are in charge of all things. So whoever you have chosen, whoever you have picked, whoever you say shall be our leader, Father. As the Bible say, we shall obey the law of the land, Father God, and we shall obey the law of the land. So bless our children, bless our grandchildren, Father. Bless those that are on our jobs, Father. Bless our co-workers, our neighbors, our friends, God, and even our enemies, God. We ask you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we trust and believe that it's already done in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. It has been a battle. It has been a battle. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to be first off. If you have your Bibles, go to the book of Ephesians real quick with me. Amen. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This has really been such a challenge. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But we're going to get through this. Amen. We're definitely going to get through this. Amen. Glory to God. I praise you, Lord, and I thank you, because there's no other like you. Amen. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 I just got to keep saying hallelujah, because it has just been a battle. This evening, and lets me know that we were on the right page, that we're in a warfare. When the enemy fights like that, I know that we're on the right page. Amen. We're at the right place. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I just don't want nobody to feel less than. I don't want nobody to feel that the country is coming to a halt, and because we got to understand something. Whatever happens, neither one of us is in control of it. We all have an option to vote. We have a vote. And I'm speaking about this because I've been hearing about it all day. Like, people are really just going crazy, making like crazy statements. Like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. If so-and-so win. We're not in charge of that. No matter who wins. Amen. We're not in charge of that. So we shouldn't even be making statements like that, especially as Christians, because, you know, we're putting bad stuff in the atmosphere, and it's crazy because other people are listening to us make these statements. People are really listening to us make these statements about what we going to do and who going to do what and so on and so on. That is not of God for us to be thinking like that. It's for us to be, you know, for whoever wins, did they do thus saith the Lord? It's up to us to pray for change. And I mean change for the better, for the country, not for us as individuals or no one nationality, none of that. But for the change of the country. I mean, you know, there's a lot. People have lost a lot. People have lost their loved ones. People have lost their jobs and their homes, and it's not a good thing. And I understand it a natural that we're feeling a certain way that I'm not going to go through this no more. I'm not going to allow nobody to treat me like this. I'm going to do this. Well, what does the Bible say about all that? As Christians, what should we be doing? Amen. How should we be behaving? Those are the questions we should be asking ourselves. How should we be behaving as Christians when obstacles come our way, when things come our way that we have really no control over? I don't know why did we try and allow to get caught up in the things of the world. It's not even about us. It's not even about us. God has plans for us. And his plan is for us to prosper, to be wise, to walk with wisdom, and to direct the lost unto him. But how can we do that? And the lost see us, and what they see us, how they see us behaving, and how they see us carrying on. Do you think they would like to follow you? Do you think they would follow us? Huh? Really? It's just something to ask yourself. Amen? So, praise God. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians. And I wanted to start at chapter 4. Amen? And I want to start at verse 20. And I'm going to read to 24. Amen? I just want to throw that out there. I'm not badgering nobody. I'm not pointing no fingers at nobody. I don't want nobody to feel bad, because on this show, we uplift people. We come together and pray for those that are suffering, to each other. But we have to, and it's a time that we have to come together and realize that whatever happens, what part do we play to make it better as Christians? And one of the things that we can do more than anything is pray. Go to God. Father, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then ride with it. Because if we went and said a sincere prayer and God has answered the prayer, and whatever the outcome becomes, okay, we did our part in praying. And if God said this is how he wanted it, this is how he wants it. Amen. Roll with the punches. You know what I mean? Be honorable to our leader, whoever it may be to lead this country. It's not to badger them, beat them down, especially as Christians. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to get into this because my title is Nothing Changes, Nothing Changes. Amen. And we got to understand that we are new creatures in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, behavior, attitudes, ways of living, amen, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, as an S on the end, so it's more than one, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Our mind has to change. Our decisions have to change. If there's some things that we've been doing that God is not pleased with, there's some things that we have been doing that corrupts our body, it corrupts our mind, and, you know, continue to drink, drug, whatever it may do, gamble, whatever it may be that's not pleasing to God, that is corrupting the way we think. Even now, some people are sitting back thinking, I'm going to do this. I can't wait till it go. I'm going to go out there and steal this and I'm going to steal that. But there's consequences behind that. And if we don't change our thinking, our consequences could be deadly, not only for us, but for our family members. There's people connected to us. We were talking the other day, me and First Lady, about how you ever see a tree that's so rooted, that is so thick, and the roots are so thick and so thick and big and strong, especially in the city. And all of a sudden, the root is so strong that it has nowhere to go, and it just pushes through your basement window, or it just pushes through your house, and your whole foundation gets corrupt, and your whole foundation starts to collapse. That's what happens with individuals that are connected together with each other, be it a married couple, be it a family, whoever you are connected to, your roots go together. And if one is so rooted, it becomes destructive, that root also messes up the other person's foundation, because your foundation is supposed to be one. Amen. Even if it's a family, it's one family, one mind, one body, one spirit, because the father or the mother, if it's a single family home, should be leading by example. Amen. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. Because I want to say, when it comes to like the subject of changing our lives, we all feel the same way. We feel, okay, it's just like going to heaven. We all feel the same way, like we're going to heaven. We're all for going to heaven, but we'd rather not go through what we have to go through to get there. You understand what I'm saying? The idea of change sounds good, but when it gets right down to it, we begin to think, you mean I actually had to live differently? No way. I like gambling. I like hanging out partying. I like going to the strip club. I like drinking and whining and drugging. I love that. I love stealing every now and then. I like cheating on my wife, cheating on my husband. I like having something on the side. I love cussing. Oh, my God. It sounds so cool. Amen. But the Christian life is fundamentally a changed life. And if we claim, I say we, because I'm including myself, if we claim to believe in Christ, but are living just as we did before we believed in him, we need to examine whether our relationship is truly, or do we truly believe in God? Amen. Because becoming a Christian requires turning from our sinful, wicked ways, changing and turning from our sin to God, which leads to repentance. But repentance is not a one-time event. It's not a one-time thing. It defines the lifestyle of a believer. Because God changes us radically. He changes us daily. He changes us as he sees fit. And at the moment of salvation, by imparting a new life upon us, a new life to us, that becomes the major change. When we go before Christ and say, Father, believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and died on the cross and rose on the third day, amen, glory to God, into the deepest part of hell, beat Satan, took the keys, ascended into heaven, and sits on the right-hand side of Christ. We believe these things. We have to change with our beliefs. No longer can we believe that going out stealing somebody's car is good. No longer should we believe cussing out our neighbor because we don't like the way they living. No longer can we be selfish and nasty and angry. Amen. And the one thing, doubtful and worrying. The spirit of worrying has to decease. We have to kill it with prayer and fasting. Anything that hinders us getting closer or believing in the things of God, we have to kill it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we have to remember God changed us. And at that moment of salvation, he imparted in us a new life. But this is followed by a lifetime of changing into the image that God has called us to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to go to 1 Corinthians real quick, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. If you want to go with me, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I won't hold it against you if you don't, but please do. Amen. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians, amen, chapter 3 and verse 18 reads, it's talking about avoiding worldly wisdom, worldly insight, worldly, you know, people tell you, for the men, I remember they would always tell us men don't cry. Men supposed to have more than one woman. Don't let no woman tell you what to do, busting her mouth every now and then to show her who's in charge. That's worldly wisdom. You don't have to work. You can make easy money doing this. You know what I mean? Those are worldly things with heavily consequences. Amen. Let no one deceive himself. Hear me out. Hear the word of God. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I thought I was the smartest thing on this planet, that I can con the best con, that I was the swiftest. I had the coolest tongue. I could talk you out of this and talk you out of this. But that, in the long run, I end up talking myself into a lot of prison time. And what I mean by that, because I was talking myself into doing some things in the world, those things that I talked myself into when it came down the pipe caused me some time in the penitentiary. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about nobody else today. I might have been born saved, ain't never did nothing wrong. Glory to God, that's you. But I will always talk about me. I will always confess my sin. I will always talk about my testimony to anybody who want to know. I ain't got nothing to hide. This is how I live. This is what I've done. And by the glory of God, by the blessings of God, and by change, creature. Amen. But I have to let God change me the way he wants to change me. I can't, because I'm saved, I can't just kick your door and say, get yourself together. You know you're living wrong. It comes with time. But I can show you by my lifestyle and hope you see a change in me, and then begin to say that God you serve is really doing some things in your life. How can I get to know that God? Because my lifestyle has to be the example, not what I say. It ain't lip service. Amen. People, you talk because they got lips. It's the walk they look at. Amen. It's the walk that the non-believer looks at. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are what? Futile, which means, you know, listen, about to get yourself in some foolishness. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just wanted to share that before I go to my scripture. Amen. Because a lot of times, I just want to make sure that we get an understanding of what's going on. Amen. Hallelujah. And a lot of times, I know we can get caught up in talking and speaking of what we feel, maybe, or what we think. But I want to, the part of my change in my lifestyle is, when I talk to anyone about Christ, I want to be able to back it up biblical. If I'm talking about a specific thing, I want to be able to go in the Bible and find it and try my best to break it down. If I don't know, I can say, well, listen, I haven't got to that part yet, or I've never read that. But if you give me some time, I'll go in and I'll study, find it, I'll let you know. Amen. But don't give up on me, because I won't give up on you. Amen. I'm not a Bible scholar. I've never claimed to be one, but I do my reading and I do my studying. Amen. And that's what I want to lead with, the word of God. Yeah, you know, God gives us a revelation and he gives us a way to expand on it. Amen. But we always have to back it up with scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul paints I don't like the word. I might have to use this word, but I don't really like it. But the only word I can really tuck to make it as real as possible. He paints a grim portrait of how unbelievers live. I'm not going to say all unbelievers are as bad as they possibly could be. They all live in the futility of, and myself included at one time, of their third mind, of their own mind being darkened in their understanding. Amen. We think we know everything, but we're painting a dark picture of ourselves. We're painting a pit of hell, and we don't see it yet. We're painting ourselves deeper and deeper into a ditch. And if we don't grab hold to the hem of God's, Christ's garment, if I can just touch his garment, oh, there's some power that'll bring me out of this dark place. There's some power that'll bring me out of this foolishness. There's some power that'll bring me out of my deception, my lying and conniving ways. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can change. And we have to believe these things, that we can change. Amen. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Amen. Chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 17. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. That's a bad place. I mean, and I guess once you get saved, you understand that darkness and that lewdness and how we give ourselves over to the enemy and how we allow the enemy to abuse us, how we allow the enemy to lie and deceive us, how we allow the enemy to make promises that we know he's not going to keep because he's a liar. He's the author of liars. He can't tell the truth. The truth ain't in him. He don't want to tell the truth. But we'll go and we'll play with him. We'll let him enter somewhere in our life. We'll let him enter. We'll take a beer. We'll let him enter. We'll stay all night when we're supposed to. We'll cheat. We'll steal. We'll lie. We'll do whatever it is. And all that, we're letting him in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Chapter 22 and verse 22 through 24 talks about how you put off the old man, how Paul compares the Christian life to stripping off the dirty clothes of a sinful past and putting on a snowy white robe of Christ's righteousness. We got to shed that filthiness. I like the way he talks about that, and we can go there if you're not, go with me. We go right down to verse 22. We can start at verse 20. It says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you, me, put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Change your way of thinking. "And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes getting up, open your eye. Oh, Father God, thank you for letting me see another day. Getting on your knees before you brush your teeth and say, Father God, whatever plans you have for me today, guide my footsteps, gird my tongue, let my eyes see in the spirit, and let my ears hear, thus saith the Lord. Get up, rejoice, get in the shower and praise him. Or as you're eating your breakfast, sipping on your coffee, oh, Lord, thank you for the hot cup. See, listen, it may sound silly to some people, but I want to get to the place where I give God thanks for everything. I might not have grits, bacon, eggs, and cheese, and toast, and raisin toast, and orange juice, and crushed ice. Oh, but if you give me a good bowl of oatmeal and it's hot, and it got some raisins, thank you, Lord. Because you couldn't, some people don't have nothing. We got to get to the place of being grateful as well as thankful. Amen. Because whatever God does for us, he has given us what he wants us to have, and he knows that we need. We may not understand it because the changes came, because there was times when you wasn't eating healthy. There was times when you wasn't eating nothing. But God made a change. Amen. Paul drew a sharp contrast, but you did not learn Christ in this way. And he gives us a brief sketch of the changed life that every believer should be experiencing. He's saying the changed life stems from the transformation that God works in us through the gospel as we put off the old life, the old ways, the old thinking, the old behavior are renewed in our minds and put on the new life in Christ. That's why I'm finding out that the Bible is showing me and teaching me how to be a better person. Now, some people say a better Christian, but I had to be a better person first to understand the spiritual part of me. I had to understand what my spiritual as I grow spiritually, I have to understand what the strengths are. I have to understand how to fight in the spirit. I have to understand how to speak in the spirit. I'm not saying I'm holier than thou, but I need to know that realm. So the change come, I had to spend more time studying. I had to spend more time reading. I had to spend some time fasting. Now, you heard what I said sometime. I didn't say a lot of time for me. I'm just going to keep it real. I'll push. Oh, but that's the one. Oh, I like food. I just like to eat. I'm a little greedy. I just like it. But if I have to, and it's going to make me better, and it's going to make me stronger, it's going to change some things in my household, it's going to change some thinking, it's going to change, it's going to open some doors, it's going to close some doors, it's going to manifest some great supernatural stuff, then that's the sacrifice I have to make. See, I sacrifice the things that I like the most. So you can turn the TV off, probably won't really bother me no more. I'll play games. Oh, but you snatch my food away. I'm a little itchy and jiggy, and Lord, I need you to come down here and talk to me. I had to turn the worship music on. I had to really, and I'm just saying is we have to grow, because the changed life begins when we learn Christ. It begins when we start to learn him. And for us to learn him, we have to get in his word. We have to be in his presence. We have to allow him in our presence. We have to allow him to come and speak to us. We have to allow some time to get to know him. It's just like dating. You have to learn each individual before you learn to live together. Because one thing you know about dating, y'all cool. Oh, y'all have a good time when you go home, she go home. Oh, but until y'all live together, you didn't know that she didn't wash the laundry. You didn't know that he don't put out trash. You don't know that, you know, the bathroom has never been clean. You don't know that he's just snacking in the middle of the night throwing stuff. It's a lot of stuff. You didn't look in that pill bottle box in that cabinet and learn that he was a little schizophrenic. You didn't learn that she was suffering from depression. You know, it's some stuff that when you get together, it's the same way. Christ knows me. He created me. He knew me before the beginning of time. I now have to get to know him. Besides his power, besides his worth, besides his glory, What is his plans for me? And how do I do, what do I do to be obedient, to fit into his plan, to allow him to lead in his plan, to allow him to show me the way and shut up and do it his way and not my way? And that's what happens to adults. We get to an age, I'm grown, I do what I want to do, but not in the eyesight of Christ. Amen. This is not how we are to behave. Amen. When we get to talking about what does it mean to learn Christ, we got to remember that even in that, Paul is saying that to become a Christian is a matter of coming to know Christ personally, and that's what I was saying. Yes, we must know something about who he is as revealed in Scripture. Amen. That's revealed in Scripture. The entire Bible testifies to the truth of who Jesus is. Amen. That he is the Christ, Messiah, God's anointed one. Amen. The Son of God. Amen. He is the eternal God in human flesh. Amen. We must also know something about the significance of what he did when he died on the cross as substitute for who? Sinners like me. Amen. A sinner. He died on the cross as the substitute for sinners. He satisfies God's wrath toward our sin so that we are what? Free from condemnation when we trust in Christ to save us. How can you go to the altar and say, I give my life over to Christ, but you don't trust him? I hear people say, how you believe in somebody you don't see? Well, I don't see the wind, but I know when it come by and blow in my face. I don't see the cold air, but I know when it's cold. I don't even see a cold when I get one, but I know I got one. Amen. I don't allow people to try to use little stuff like that, because if you dig into your personal garbage bag and remember what God brought you from. See, I didn't throw mine away. My suitcase sits in my mind all the time. As soon as I get out of pocket, wait a minute. I know what God brought me from. You ain't going to come talk to me and tell me there ain't no God. You ain't going to come talk to me, are you believing in that white devil? I ain't got nothing to do with all that. That's your thought. My thought is, watch what you say about my Father. Watch what you say about my Savior. Watch how you behave when you're talking about my Father. Because, see, now I'm offended. I'm only offended because you don't know no better. And because I'm trying to tell you and show you. So now what I mean by being offended, I'm going to sit back and say, Father, I don't know what else to do. I leave it in your hands. Not to condemn, but sometimes, you know, there's been, you know, if you have a big family, a little family, there's some brothers and sisters in your house, man, that just hard-headed in others. Amen. And mom and pop had to punish them. Well, when I was coming, got their behind, well, a little harsh than others, but they did it in love. And whatever Christ does to us, believe me, he does it in love. Amen. Hallelujah. It is possible to know all of these facts that we're speaking about and more, and yet not to know Jesus Christ personally. And I got a scripture to back it up. Amen. Go with me to the book of John. It's just there, you know. And it's because it's red, I just know, Lord, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because even when Jesus prayed for himself, we got to pray for ourselves. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The Christian life begins when we receive eternal life from God through the faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At that moment, we come to know him personally. Yes, that's the initial encounter with Christ. Amen. That's the initial encounter with Christ. Hallelujah. That's the initial encounter with Christ. Amen. But the initial encounter with Christ is only the beginning of an eternal relationship with him. Okay. If you not, if you, okay, let's say it like this. If you have not entered into that personal relationship with Christ, you are not a Christian in the true sense of the word. You may be a theologian or a Bible scholar, but you are only like a historian who knows much about the president or about history or about Black history, but who has never met him or spent any time with him personally. The changed life begins when we learn Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to start at verse 1, but I want to focus on verse 3, but I just love my Father's words. Jesus spoke these words, lift up his eyes to the heavens and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. See, Father, you, listen, glorify me, Jesus, so I may glorify you. How can I go? See, when I say that, I mean, Lord, impart in me wisdom, impart in me understanding, impart in me peace of mind. Take away my anger. Take away things that hinder me from being used for the building of your kingdom. Amen. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Now, here's the one I like. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have, he was sent to be our Savior, walked in the flesh, got spat on, lied on, people threw rocks and put thorns and stuff on his head, just treating him bad for no reason. Never did nothing but try to bring the truth, just performed miracles and did everything. It was just obedient and kept on doing, thus saith the Lord. But he was on an assignment. So when these things come up in our lives, when people lie on you, when people just backbite you and backstab you and do things to you, steal and deceive, listen. They did it to Christ. You are Christ-like. We're going to get some of the same things. Now, our walk is different. And our sacrifices are different because he was well-equipped for that. That was his ministry. That was his calling. So whatever our calling is, when it comes down the pike, be prepared. Be prepared. Because the proper translation is not taught by him, but in the New King James Version, but rather taught in him. The phrase in Christ sums up Paul's view of what it means to be a Christian. As we saw in chapter 1, the saints are what? Faithful in Christ Jesus. That's verse 1, chapter 1. We have received every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's chapter 1, verse 3. God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Chapter 1, verse 4. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness our trespasses. Chapter 1, verse 7. He made known to us the mystery of his will, which he purposed in him. Chapter 1, verse 9. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. In him we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Chapter 1, verse 13. God's surpassing power toward us was revealed in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Chapter 1, verse 20. These are just the references to being in Christ. Because in chapter 1, them are the references to being in Christ in chapter 1. The blessings that are ours because we are in Christ. The blessings keep piling up, y'all. Because we are in Christ Jesus. The blessings keep piling up. Oh, it might not seem like it right now. Oh, you might be going through something right now. Oh, you might thought he forgot about you. Oh, you might not see it. Oh, you might have been praying and praying and praying and praying, and you have not seen the manifestation. Oh, but it's piling up. He's going to open up that window of blessings. Oh, when they fall on you, it's going to be more than enough. It's going to be so much more you ain't going to know what to do with. But I hope our hearts are in the right place, because in this season, it is sharing season. It is blessing season. Blessing those who have went through more than we have and don't know Christ, and some of those who do know Christ. Amen. Blessing not only with things, but with our prayers, with our time, with compassion, with sharing the word. It is sharing the word time. It is time to get tracts again. It is time to hold your Bible and know your word. And it is time to share the goodness of the Lord, because so many people has went through so much in these few months that God is trying to raise us up, and he's trying to get us out of that place where he brung us out of, and we keep going back. He's saying it's time to change if you want to be used by me. Oh, it's time to change, because the changed life begins when we know the truth that is in Jesus. The phrase "just as truth is in Jesus" qualifies the preceding comments about learning Christ, hearing him, and being taught in him. The reason that Christ is the focus of instruction is that he is the embodiment of truth. And I know we're running out of time. I got another scripture. Please go there with me. Go to the book of John. Go to chapter 14 and verse 6. Amen. Because the truth of salvation is only in Jesus Christ. In him, we learn the truth about who we are. The truth about sin and righteousness, and the truth about God's purpose for why we are on this earth. Ooh, do you really know your purpose? It's not to be cute and have every color wig and the longest eyelashes and the biggest heels, the biggest muscles, the biggest chest, the longest car, the biggest bankroll, the most businesses. Do you know why we're here? Because we learn the truth about how to love God and how to love one another. We learn the truth about coming judgment and about heaven and hell and all of the truth that we need for life and godliness, sinners, in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, did you hear what the Bible? Oh, come on with me. Just chapter 14, verse 6. Hallelujah. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Listen, when I first heard that, I was like, okay, big baller, Jesus, you in place. You the man. I got to see you. And I looked at it like that because I remember being in a world that there's certain places you couldn't go, or certain people you couldn't see, or in my lifestyle, that unless you had to go through other people. But I had to go through this one to get what I desired. I had to go through this one to get things worked out. So now Jesus is telling me the same thing as a Christian. Listen here, you got to come through me to see Daddy. And he's interceding my prayers for me. When I'm falling, when I'm messing up, Jesus is right there, Father. He's going to get it. Look at him. He's struggling, but he's fighting. He's fighting. He's not surrendering. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't turn his back and walk away. He's fighting. He's going through something. "I come to the throne of God at your feet, Father. Watch over him. Give him another chance. Oh, God, I shed his blood for him, too. Oh, I shed his blood for her, too. Oh, they might have messed up. They might have slipped. They might have fell. Oh, but God, they are my brothers and sisters. They are your children. You created them in your image. You know they're operating in the flesh, but we're going to get through that because they're going to learn me, and I already know them. I'm going to impart some of me in them. But we got to let him. We got to let him. No man comes to the Father but through me." So you know what I start doing? I pray Jesus. I say Jesus, because I want him to know I'm being obedient and I'm going to take the steps that you told me to step to get to the Father. And I want to say thank you too, Jesus, for doing what you've done for me. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one Trinity. I know that. But I'm going to be obedient and do it the way Jesus say do it. Not only that, but every part of my life, I'm trying. I'm not saying I'm there. Oh, but I'm changing. Oh, but I'm changing. Because listen, if I don't know the change in my life, I don't need nobody else to say, oh, I see him changing. He's really changing. I need to know I'm changing. Jesus needs to know. And you know, I know when Jesus know I'm changing. Oh, because those blessings that piled up, every now and then he drops one in my lap. Hey, boy, I know you wanted that, but you earned it, son. You've been doing, you've been studying, you've been praising me, you've been worshiping me, you've been calling my name, you've been helping your neighbors, you've been helping those that's less fortunate. You give your last, you don't complain about it, you're not getting angry anymore, it's not being selfish. Oh, son, I got you. And listen. I want to finish this, but I don't have enough time. Please tune in with us next week at your Fix It 6. Please, we're trying to make some things so I can get back on Friday nights and do the inspirational music. We're really trying to do some things, but with this, we got to be obedient to the law of the land. There's a lot of things and we can't do that we want to do. We want to do some live things outside with the nature and the water, even in the winter. We want to bring in guests. We want to do a lot of things, but we have to do it as we have to be obedient and be safe. Amen. We have to be safe. Amen. Glory to God. I really, really had a good time this evening. And I really want to just continue. Oh, it's just killing. I wish you could just see my face. Oh my God, I just really want to prayerfully, if the Holy Spirit allows, we'll continue this next week, God's will, if nothing. Y'all who didn't vote, please get out and vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for. Just get out and vote. Amen. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. It's your right. Amen. I just always say this to people who don't vote. Don't complain. Amen. Glory to God. Because you have an option to change the situation either way. Because your vote only helps electing someone. They have to do the work. Amen. I don't care who you vote for. You know, you can put princes, you can put anybody in there. But if they don't do the work, it's not done. Amen. We just got to pray and ask God, whoever he elects, to anoint that individual, to touch his heart, to do righteousness. Every promise you make, do it for his people, because we're held accountable for what we say and do. Amen. And if you're a Christian man or a Christian woman, whoever may be elected, they're held accountable for the promises they make, and so on and so on. So we just pray, like, listen, Father, this is your country. This is your world. You created all things in it, every individual, and everybody deserves a second, third, fourth, or how many every chances you give us. And we just going to pray to whoever you put back in office or put in office, that they put prayer back in the schools, they put prayer back in the churches, they put prayer back in every place they took it from, and that you touch the hearts of your people to come back to where they supposed to be. And where we supposed to be is praising God. Amen. So we're going to continue for change. We're going to continue to pray for change in the atmosphere as well as on earth, as well as we can. Amen. We're just really going to get together and do that. Amen. Glory to God. So I don't want to keep you up late. I know some of you just getting all busy and you have things to do, but glory to God. I just felt so joyous. And I've been feeling so joyous today, and it's just been a blessing. And I'm kind of physical tired because I've been doing a lot also, but I felt a blessed in my spirit. And that overpowers any illness, that overpower any pain, any sickness. Amen. Because I know it's only the love of the Lord that's wiping away the pain and replacing it with joy. And just like he does it for me, he'll do it for you. We just have to trust and believe that God is who he says he is. He's going to keep every promise he ever made to us. Amen. Don't let nobody talk you out of your relationship with Christ. Don't let nobody talk you out of whatever God has for you, because we don't know what the next minute, second, or day holds. But if you hold on to the Lord, and let him embrace you in his bosoms, we can't go wrong because we're holding on to the Most High God. Amen. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for what you've done today. We thank you for what you allow. And Father, we hope you're pleased with what was said on this evening. Now touch our hearts. Touch our minds, God, for change. Touch our hearts for change, Father. Show us to be who you called us to be. Direct us and direct our path, God. Show us, lead us to where we're supposed to be. Lead us to our ministry, God. Lead those that are in lack to a blessing, Father. Send someone their way, God, to feed those that are hungry, God, not only in the physical but in the spiritual, God, because there's a people who are crying and hungry for you, just don't know how to find you, God. So, Father, send true people their way, God, to touch. Just let them touch, and you do the rest, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless each and every home. Bless this election on this week. Bless each and every candidate, God. Let no harm come to them, God. Break up every thought of assassination, God. Break every thought of violence, God. Every protest and people that are trying to perpetrate and do things that is not of you, God. Break it all up today, God. Break it up. It is time for change. And Father, we change. And we change because we want to be like you. Everything that's not like you that's in us, we surrender it over to you for change, to be more like you. And Jesus, we love you and we thank you for the gift of everlasting life you gave when you gave your life up in Calvary, God. And we thank you, Jesus. And with that being said, we have blessed you on this evening, God. Now bless us and keep us in your prayers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil, and I pray that all will be well. Until next time, God bless.